Jennifer, you're very welcome to the show and thanks for joining me again.
Thanks so much for having me, Amber.
Delighted to have you here. So we're going to start with the Bank of Ireland story. And what exactly did they say and why has it generated so much reaction, Jennifer?
Yeah, so I guess the headline centred on Bank of Ireland telling staff that failing to meet required in-office days could be factored into performance assessments, affect bonuses and pay progression, and ultimately lead to disciplinary processes for continued non-compliance. And I suppose the reaction has been quite strong because remote working became so embedded during COVID that many people now see it as an entitlement. But legally, that isn't the position in Ireland, and I think that's where the misunderstanding starts. So what Bank of Ireland has done isn't unprecedented or automatically unlawful. The real question isn't, can an employer do this? It's how they do it.
You touch on the entitlement there as well. Is it actually a legal right to work remotely then in Ireland?
No, and I suppose that's the important distinction really in this case. So in Ireland, employees have a right to request remote working, and that's in place under the Work-Life Balance and Miscellaneous Provisions Act 2023. But that's very different from an automatic right to work remotely. So employers are required to consider all requests properly. They're required to follow fair procedures, and if they are refusing a request, they have to give a reason as to why the request is refused. But I suppose unless remote working is written into the contract of employment as the place of work, employers generally retain the right to decide where the work is performed. And I suppose here, and looking at the COVID era arrangements where most of those were policy-based and not contractual, is the important point. So that means employers can change, and I suppose it's the point here is that they have to do so fairly and transparently.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, Jennifer, then a lot of people can be particularly angry about bonuses then being affected as well. Is that lawful?
So in most cases, yes, provided that it's handled properly. So in Irish law, bonuses are usually discretionary unless the contract of employment says otherwise. A discretionary performance-linked bonus can lawfully take account of areas such as performance, conduct and compliance with workplace policies. So linking eligibility to criteria such as in-office attendance expectations isn't new. It happens in regulated industries all the time. But what causes difficulty here is surprising people with it halfway through the year or applying it inconsistently. So again, the problem isn't the principle itself, it's the poor execution.
So it isn't just a HR issue, from what I'm hearing. I think it's a management issue as well.
Exactly. And increasingly, I suppose it's a corporate governance issue too. So hybrid working now affects areas such as how performance is measured, how people are rewarded, and how fairly policies are applied across teams. So boards and owners are expected to ensure that decisions are objective, defensible, and consistently implemented. So a policy that looks okay on paper but collapses under managerial inconsistency is a governance risk, really.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And most listeners won't work in a large bank, we'll say, just for example. So what should Irish SMEs take from this?
So realistically, there's two key lessons from this case. So firstly, it's write it down and mean it. So have a hybrid policy in place, and that hybrid policy should be clear, it should be up to date, and it should be applied the same way by all managers within the business. Vague policies create expensive misunderstandings from an organisational perspective. And I suppose secondly, if in-office attendance affects pay or performance, say so upfront. So linking an in-office attendance to a bonus system is fine, but surprising people mid-year with that expectation is not. Mm-hmm. So hybrid work is increasingly a conditional arrangement. It's not an assumed right unless it's expressly written into the contract. And it's about being clear about that with the employees. So SMEs that communicate early and act consistently avoid disputes later.
Yeah, and you just mentioned communication there, and it sounds like that's key in this kind of an area as well, Jennifer, is it? Because I suppose if you are communicating and being clear like that, there's no misunderstanding, I suppose, in between, you know, employers and employees.
Definitely. And I think policy is key in that instance. So I suppose having it written down, having an expectation set out that employees can read and refer back to is crucial. And I suppose from a manager point of view, it's setting out the expectations around performance and pay related bonuses at the start of the financial year in the business so that people are clear as to what they need to achieve over the year.
Absolutely. What are the broader trends maybe that you're seeing here?
So I think really it's a recalibration. That's what it links back to. So remote working certainly isn't disappearing. There's still a strength in the remote working aspect. But I suppose it's being reframed most certainly, and employers are clarifying what those expectations are for the business. They're reasserting their business needs and ultimately moving away from an informal flexibility to more structured arrangements. And I suppose realistically, the employers who manage this well are the ones who will review contracts and policies, they'll train their managers, and they'll communicate with their teams before enforcing new policies. And the ones who don't will ultimately learn the hard way, unfortunately.
And I know we say this, I think, Jennifer, every time that you're here, but it's important to get the point across as well, because we're always talking about Irish SMEs and the fact that, you know, they're small by
Absolutely.
Nature, and the people working in them, they can wear many different hats and it can be difficult to keep on top of everything. And there's so much different, I suppose, aspects 100%. To running a business as well. So that's kind of why the likes of yourselves are there, you know, at Orbitus, and they can pick up the phone, they can talk to you if there's maybe just one aspect or there's numerous aspects they want to come to you to talk about. So it's important, I suppose, to get that message out there that if people want to contact you, that you're there and you're willing to help.
Absolutely, we're here, we're willing to help, and I suppose we see it all the time with our clients that maybe they don't have a dedicated HR person, they don't have a dedicated legal function, they don't have a dedicated tax function internally. We're here to help, we're here to provide that expertise, and we're happy to support and be that external partner helping drive that business forward in those areas.
Fantastic. And just in case anyone listening isn't sure the best way to contact you, can you just remind us if you don't mind?
Absolutely. So we can be contacted via email at info@orbitus.ie or equally by phone on 06671 69033.
Fantastic. Well, Jennifer, thanks so much for coming into studio. It's been lovely to have you on the show again.
Thanks for having me, Amber.